President Trump will be in Japan this weekend, so he'll be spending a lot of time over the next few days with Japan's prime minister. And just ahead of Trump's visit, the Japanese government has issued this request to the foreign media: get our prime minister's name right. Stop saying it like this.
Shinzo Abe.
Shinzo Abe.
Shinzo Abe.
Shinzo Abe.
Shinzo Abe.
And say it more like this.
An-bei-jin-san.
Notice the difference? It's not so much the way the Western press butchers the pronunciation of Abe's name, it's the mixed-up order of his name. In Japan and other Asian countries, the convention goes like this: family name first, given name second. Abe Shinzo. Japan wants the rest of the world to start following that format, but that wasn't always the case. During the 19th century, apparently in an effort to conform to international standards, Japan encouraged its people to ignore the tradition when writing in English. Now the government in Tokyo wants to go the other way. Not clear if President Trump understood or even got the memo ahead of his trip, though. He's called the Japanese leader Prime Minister Shinzo and said this to a Japanese journalist during a recent press conference.
Say hello to Shinzo.
It's actually Abe Shinzo, Mr. President, per the Japanese instructions. Apart from getting the name right, this is not expected to be a very challenging visit for Trump. The agenda is packed with events like golf, sumo wrestling, and visits to a steakhouse. Perhaps that's because Japanese leaders don't want the president to go off script on sensitive topics like trade. And believe me, the Japanese have been familiar with Trump's views on trade for a long time. The World's Jason Margolis explains.
This was America in the 1980s.
News for the metro area.
We got Tim Donovan here taking his frustrations out on this 78 Toyota. For a dollar, they get how many hits on this car?
It's a dollar a hit. When I was raised in Allen Park, they used to have carnivals, and you'd take a whack at a car, and it was always the biggest sensation. We thought, well, why not a Japanese car?
A bit on the extreme side, but Smash a Toyota Day was part of a growing anti-Japanese sentiment in the United States. It was spurred by a mounting trade deficit with Japan.
And many Americans were concerned about the United States' declining economic power. But many Americans also saw Japan as threatening because they worried that its rise was showing that the nature of global power was changing.
Historian Jennifer Miller at Dartmouth College studies foreign relations between the U.S. and Asia. She says Americans were troubled by how Japan was rising to the top.
You didn't need to have military bases around the world to be a world power. You could just have this massive economy built on this export of consumer products.
In the 80s, American politicians from both parties, as well as business and union leaders, said Japan wasn't playing by the rules. President Ronald Reagan imposed tariffs, arguing that Japan was dumping products into the U.S., selling for less than the cost of production to gain market share. Here's the counter story. Sony, Toyota, and Honda were just building better products than U.S. companies. Back then, Americans were also becoming enthralled by a young New York real estate tycoon. He paid $100,000 to print an open letter from Donald J. Trump in several newspapers. Trump wrote, quote, "Let's not let our great country be laughed at anymore." Then Trump went on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
You took out a full-page ad in major U.S. newspapers last year criticizing U.S. foreign policy. What would you do differently, Donald?
I'd make our allies, forgetting about the enemies you can't talk to so easily, I'd make our allies pay their fair share. We're a debtor nation. Something's going to happen over the next number of years with this country because you can't keep going on losing $200 billion, and yet we let Japan come in and dump everything right into our markets and everything. It's not free trade. If you ever go to Japan right now and try to sell something, forget about it, Oprah. Just forget about it. It's almost impossible. They don't have laws against it. They just make it impossible. They come over here, they sell their cars, their VCRs, they knock the hell out of our companies.
Trump also took his message to Phil Donahue, Larry King, and David Letterman.
When I see a total ripoff of this country by Japan...
The fact is that you don't have free trade. We think of it as free trade, but
we defend Japan for virtually nothing, which is hard to believe.
Trump didn't just talk about the problems with Japan as he saw them. He spoke about how he could fix them.
He talked about how if he were president, he was going to fix this. And he talked about how the reason Japan was able to do this was because America's current leadership was stupid.
Jennifer Miller says Trump talked about putting up barriers to imports, making Japan increase its defense spending and paying the U.S. a tax. Sound familiar?
You can trace so much of his rhetoric back to the 1980s that I think he hasn't actually updated it that much.
As president, Trump has China most squarely in his sights right now when it comes to trade. He's also gone after Mexico, Canada, and Europe. But the president still hasn't forgotten about Japan. Remember how Trump wrote that Japan was laughing at us in the 1980s? Last year, he was giving a speech about U.S.-Chinese relations. Then, unexpectedly, he tacked on a random thought about Japan.
I'll talk to Prime Minister Abe of Japan and others. Great guy, friend of mine. And there'll be a little smile on their face. And the smile is, I can't believe we've been able to take advantage of the United States for so long. So those days are over.
But there have been contradictions within Trump's stance towards Japan, says Jennifer Miller. Trump built up his real estate empire in part through Japanese finance and by selling real estate to Japanese buyers.
On the one hand, he's railing against Japan for being this predatory power that's selling all these products to the United States, that's dumping products on the international scene and trying to destroy the American economy through a flood of cars and VCRs. Yet, at the exact same time, he's relying on Japanese money for his own career. And I think we see that contradiction continue to today, where Trump talks a lot about tariffs and about how rigged the global trading order is, but continues to encourage foreign investment, including Japanese investment in the United States.
Miller says Trump also sought that investment on a very personal level. In the early 90s, Trump was short on cash and wanted to sell his yacht, the Trump Princess.
And so one of the things he does is he sends the yacht to Tokyo Bay and has it sail around off the shores of Tokyo trying to find a Japanese buyer.
Perhaps no huge surprise, after making the rounds of talk shows and taking out a full-page newspaper ad bashing Japan, Trump was unable to find a Japanese buyer. He reportedly sold it instead to a Saudi prince. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis.